Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Do it. But if you would stand to your feet, we stand for the reading of the Word of God just in honor of it. We're going to be back in Ephesians chapter 4 as we continue our growth chart series. And I hope that you're seeing growth in your life. That's the goal behind this. It's not just something to have a catchy, you know, oh, we have a series so that we do this or we do that. No, we really want to see you grow in your life. We want to see you advance and get better and grow larger and larger and increase in your walk with God and how you treat people and how you live and what you do. And so that's why we're going through this growth series, is we want to see people grow in the body of Christ. Amen. But let's read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, and then we're going to skip down to chapter 5 and read verses 1 and 2, because when Paul wrote this letter, it was that. It was a letter. It wasn't broken up in chapter and in verse. We inserted that later so that it'd be easier to find. And I think sometimes we split chapter from chapter and we get this idea that he's talking about something different, but he's actually still on the same train of thought sometimes. And so I want to read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, and then read chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Here's what he says. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, Paul writes and says, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. In this growth chart series, the way that it works, if you've been here, you know, the word growth is an acronym, there it is, that we use for to talk about grace, repentance, offering, worship, training, and harvest. And we're going through each and every one of those. And today we're going to focus on offering. And we're going to talk about that and focus on that today. But we've covered grace because in the book of 2 Peter, Peter closes his thoughts and he says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. So we want to grow in our grace, the grace that we extend to other people. We don't want to just take the grace of God in vain. In fact, Paul wrote to the Philippians and he says, I do not set aside the grace of God, because if righteousness came through the law, then Christ died in vain. Meaning that when we push grace aside, we take in vanity the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross. We should grow in that grace. We should accept that grace, and we should extend grace to other people. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, to not let any corrupt word come out of our mouth except for that which is necessary for edification, that it can impart grace to the hearer. So as we grow in grace, we should grow in giving grace to other people. We've talked about repentance and how the word repent in the Greek means to change your mind or to change your purpose. And I want to encourage you, don't let your thinking be in vain. Think on purpose. Think on his purposes. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. Let's grow in grace, grow in repentance. And today we're going to talk about offering. Don't worry, I know you're still standing. You'll be all right. I'll let you sit down in just a second. Let's pray together today. Father, I thank you that your word is eternal and it's full of life. I thank you that the word of God is anointed and the anointing breaks the yoke and destroys bondage and principalities in our life. And I pray if there be anything today that is holding on to us, and anything that is holding on to you, church, is holding you back from who he has called you to be, or anything that you're holding on to, I pray that we would be like the book of Hebrews says today, that we would lay aside every sin and the weight which so easily ensnares us, that we can run this race with endurance, that we can grow, we can go further into who you've called us to be and the destiny that you have placed on our life. And I pray that you would anoint me, give me the spirit of wisdom and understanding to teach and preach the word of God to the body of Christ today. And I pray that this word would fall upon ears that are ready to receive and a heart that is good soil. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So today we're talking about offering. We've talked about grace. We've talked about repentance. Now we're going to talk about offering. And once you've received the grace of God, you find yourself in a place where you realize that you have need of repentance. And once you repent, you've changed your mind, you've changed your purpose, you've turned away from sin. Now you step into a place of offering your life to God. You see, Jesus tells the parable of the sower, which I slightly referenced there when I was praying. And he says that a man went out to sow. And how many of you know that the seed is always good? It depends on what kind of ground the seed falls upon, if it's going to yield a harvest or not. And he says, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed seed, there was different types of soil that took it, and some of it, they received the word with gladness, and it sprouted up, but it didn't take root. It was rocky soil, or there were thorns that choked it out, and it was sometimes it would sprout up quick, but it didn't come to fruition. But there were some that received the word of God that was good soil, that it produced 30, 60, or 100-fold return to the sower. And what I see in church, in Christianity, in our life, is there sometimes there's a lot of people that they receive the grace of God very quickly. They even repent and confess of their sin, but they sprout up real quick, but eventually it fizzles out and it begins to die. How many of you have experienced that in your life, or you've seen it? You know, I remember Pastor Madison shared her testimony last week, and somebody said when she got saved when she was a senior in high school, it'll never last. They were expecting her to fizzle out, probably because they'd seen so many people go to church, have an emotional, religious, spiritual experience, and then fizzle out. Well, what happens is when we take the grace of God and we repent from our sin, but we fail to offer our life to God as a living sacrifice, we dry up. We fizzle out, and there are so many people that started on a journey with God but are no longer walking with him. They've turned their back on him. They've turned away from the word of God, the will of God, the way of God. And so I want to talk to you about offering yourself to God, because I truly believe that the way to be fruitful in the kingdom of God, and Jesus said in John chapter 15, any branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he cuts it off and he throws it away. The way to be fruitful, he teaches us, is by abiding in the vine. And that is how when we offer ourselves to the Lord to say, I am at your service. You are my master. You are my Lord. I give myself completely to you. Paul told the Romans, in fact, in the 6th chapter of his epistle to them, he said, don't offer yourselves as members of unrighteousness unto sin, but rather offer yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, your members, meaning your hands, your feet, your eyes, your mouth, everything that you have, your members as instruments of righteousness to God. He would go on to say in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present, that word present is the same word that he used in Romans chapter 6, that is offer, that you would offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Some translations say worship, and we may even use that word when we talk about worship next week. We may use this scripture. In essence, though, Paul is saying to the Romans in chapter 6, chapter 12, and really all throughout that book, is that we should offer ourselves up to God, that our life should be to him as a living sacrifice. In fact, Paul told the Corinthians this when he wrote to them in chapter 6 of his first letter. He said, don't you know that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you and you have from God? Listen to this. He told them, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, listen to this, which are God's. He's saying, you don't belong to yourself, meaning your life is not your own to do with what you want, to live as you please. When I became a Christian, I put myself under the blood of Jesus Christ, and I subjected to the Master Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life. What I did is I said, my life is not my own. And Paul was reminding the Corinthians of this. And I think that every now and then we need a good reminder to realize our life is not up to us to do with what we want. Our money, our time, our talents, our abilities. If you call yourself a Christian, how many Christians do I got in here? Come on, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. Jesus Christ. If we're Christians, we are called to realize that everything that we have is to be offered to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him. And I love what Paul notes in Romans chapter 12. He says, it's your reasonable act of worship. It's not unreasonable. It's not far-fetched. He gave himself for us. So therefore, we should in turn give ourselves to him. We're to offer our lives to God, everything that flows out of our lives to him, meaning the good, the bad, the ugly, everything that I have in my life, everything that comes out, I offer it to God. That's why he said, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. He doesn't just want your perfection. He wants everything about you because you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify your God in your bodies and in your spirit because they belong to God. And in fact, in Genesis chapter 22, there's a portion of scripture and there's a story that is mind-boggling. If you're a parent, every time you read this scripture, probably like me, you wonder how could this be possible? Because in this passage of scripture, Genesis chapter 22, God tells Abraham, he says, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, and I want you to take him to the mountain that I'll tell you to go to. And once you get there, I want you to offer him to me as a burnt sacrifice. You know what the Bible says Abraham did? He rose early the next morning. He saddled his donkey. He made provisions. He got his son. He got his servants, and he began to journey to the land that God would show him. He didn't stop and argue with God because Abraham had the understanding, my life is not my own. If God gave it to me, then it's not really mine anyways. It's his. And the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. So anything that God gave you, he has the ability to ask for from you. And the thing is, if he can't ask you for something in your life, then he's not really your Lord or your master. But we're called to live realizing my life is not my own. So God calls Abraham. He says, take your son up on this mountain to the place I will show you and sacrifice him to me. And Abraham obeyed God. But in the end, when he got up on that mountain and his son was bound and lying on an altar, the Bible says that Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife and he raised his arm as if he was going to slay his only son. And I can't imagine what was going on in that man's mind as his arm was raised about to take the life of the son that was promised to him by God, that was born to him beyond the years of natural childbirth to he and to his wife. But he was willing to offer him up as a sacrifice. And it makes me think about this. The Bible says in the book of Psalm chapter 51, David prays and he says, burnt offerings you don't take pleasure in. You don't require us to give, offer up burnt sacrifice. But he says, a broken and a contrite heart, oh God, these you will not despise. Meaning this is what you want. And I believe that as God looked down on Abraham, he saw a broken and a contrite heart that would be willing to offer to God anything that he asked him. And God said, no, 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 hold up, Abraham. The angel of the Lord called out to him, said, Abraham, Abraham, what are you doing? And the Bible says Abraham lifted his eyes. And in that moment, there was a ram caught in the thicket. And I want to say to you today that no matter what God is asking you to offer to him, no matter how costly or how sacrificial it may seem, he will always reciprocate with something greater if you're willing to offer to him what it is that he's asking of you. And I believe there's a ram in the thicket for you today. But sometimes we miss out on the provision of God because we're not even willing to journey up the mountain. What I mean by that is Abraham would have missed the blessing of the promise and the provision of God if he wouldn't have been willing to go up on the mountain and offer his son. But sometimes God is asking things of us and we think, there's no way I can give that. There's no way I can give that financially. There's no way I can give that time. There's no way that I can do that or be that or walk that out. But if you will just trust God, there is a ram in the thicket with your name on it. If you will say, God, I won't hold anything back from you. Whatever you want, you have the right to ask anything of me in my life, and I will give it to you because I trust you. You see, trust is not what is shown or what is realized or what is exemplified when things are good. Trust is what is exemplified and shown when things are bad. Do you trust him to ask you for something? Do you trust him when he says, take the promise that I've given to you and lay it on the altar and let it be burned up? That's trust. That's realizing that if he doesn't come through, there's no way that I'm going to make it. But if you will trust God, he will always reciprocate with something greater. So Abraham was willing to offer up Isaac. It makes me think of a couple of other stories in the Bible. There was a time when Jesus was teaching the multitudes, and it became late in the day, and the people began to faint with hunger. And Jesus looks at his disciples, and he says, "You guys give them something to eat." And they go, "We don't have anything to give them to eat." And Jesus said, "Well, it's your job to feed them. What do you have?" And they said, "Well, there's a little boy here. There's a little lad. He's got 5 loaves. He's got 2 fish. And he's willing to give that up." If you're willing to offer what seems like not enough, just like God provided a ram in the thicket for Abraham, he will take what you do have, what you do give, and he can multiply it into something so much greater. That 5 loaves and that 2 fish, you know the story. It fed over 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And there was 12 baskets that were taken up and gathered together from the leftovers, because little is much when God is in it. When you say, "God, it doesn't look like much, it doesn't feel like much, but what I have, I'm willing to give to you. And I know that you can do so much more with it than what I'm willing, than what I can do with it." But sometimes we fail to offer things to God because we think that they don't matter. We think, "What is my life? What are my talents? What are my giftings? What's my financial contribution going to do? It's nothing. It doesn't matter." Listen, God is looking at the heart. And if you will just give him what seems like a measly 5 loaves and 2 fish, he can do so much more with it than we can do. It makes me think about when Elijah showed up, the brook Cherith had dried up. And the Bible says that God had provided a widow in Zarephath to provide for him. And he showed up and she was gathering sticks to make a fire, to bake one more cake with the olive oil and the flour she had. And then their plan was she and her son were going to die of starvation. There was nothing left. And she was gathering sticks. And Elijah says, "Can I have a cup of water from you?" And she says, "Yeah, sure." And as she goes to get a cup of water, remind you, they were in a drought. And he's asking for water. And she's willing to give him water. And while she's walking away, he says, "Oh, yeah, I know you're going to make a cake for you and your son. And then y'all are going to die. But make me a cake first." And she says, "Okay, I will." And she turns, you know what the Bible says? The flour never ran out and the jar of oil never ran dry. Why? Because she was willing to offer what she had. God multiplied it and made it so much greater. And I don't know who I'm talking to today or what you're facing, but there's somebody, I believe that there's probably all of us here today, that we are afraid to give because we have a poverty mentality. You know what poverty is? Poverty is not living below the line that is regulated by the government that says, if you don't make this much money, you're in poverty. You can be a millionaire and be bound to poverty, because poverty simply means the fear of not having enough. Meaning, if you are afraid that if I give this $100, I won't have anything to eat. If I give this time, if I give of my energy, if I give my abilities, my talents, I'm going to run out and it's going to be depleted. If you look at the parable of the talents that Jesus told, the one that took it and buried it in the ground because he was afraid he would lose it, it was taken away from him and given to the one that wasn't afraid to invest what he did have and take a risk, so that there was the possibility of making and creating more for the king to come and find a return when he came back. And I'm telling you today, don't be afraid to offer what you have to God. It might be one scoop of flour, it might be a quarter cup of oil, but whatever you have, if you offer it to God, he will multiply it into something greater than you could ever possibly imagine or have in your life, because little is much when God is in it. And in Ephesians, Paul is writing to the church, and in the heart of this letter, right in the middle of it, in chapter 4, he begins to talk about how everybody, when they do their part, that's what causes growth in the body. It's not magic. It's not something that is outside of our realm of possibility. He says, look, if you want to see your community grow, if you want to see your church grow, if you want to see the body of Christ grow, you focus on doing your heart. You lend a hand. You serve where you can serve. And my heart and my goal for this series is that you personally would grow. Yeah. That you'd grow in your parenting. You'd grow in your marriage. You'd grow on your job. You'd grow in your spirituality. You would grow in your pursuit of Jesus. You would grow in the grace. You'd grow in repentance. You'd grow in offering, worship, training, and harvest. That in all these areas, you would grow, because when you grow, we grow. Because we're all called to be connected in unity together. And it's impossible, though, to do your part without offering of yourself. That's why I chose to use this scripture, because this is the basis of everything we're talking about, causing the growth of the body. I want to see this church and this body grow. I want to see this community touched with the gospel and the transformation that can only come through knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But the only way we're going to do it, the only way that we're going to see the growth that we've been talking about and talking about and talking about, is if we all say, sign me up. I will do whatever God is calling me to do. What is my part? Am I a hand? Am I an ear? Am I a nose? Am I a foot? Am I a greeter? Am I an usher? Am I a nursery worker? Should I work in the sound department? Whatever I need to do, I want to cause growth in the body. I want to know my part and do my part. And as we do that, we begin to grow. But it's impossible to do your part without saying, here's an offering that I'm bringing to the body of Christ. Here's an offering I'm bringing to lay at the feet of Jesus. But so often, when we hear the word offering, we tend to think money, finances. And money definitely has something to do with it. I know that because in the book of Malachi, God told his people, he said, you robbed me. And they say, how have we robbed you? He said, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. So God is saying in his word very clearly that when we fail to tithe and when we fail to give an offering, we are robbing him of what is rightfully his. So money has something to do with it. I encourage you to tithe. I encourage you to give an offering to the Lord, not because of me. Listen, my salary and what I do is not based on how much you give or don't give, okay? So I don't get more if you give more. So I'm not in this for myself. I'm telling you, you don't want to be somebody that robs God, because he says on the opposite side of that, he says, prove me now in this. If you will give tithes and offerings, I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out on you such blessing there will not be room enough to receive. So if you give tithes and offerings, you're the one that's going to be blessed and you're the one that's going to benefit from it. But I want to go beyond the obvious today. And I want to talk not just about offering our money to God, but about offering our life to God and for the benefit of other people. Because it is sacrificial to do your part in the body of Christ. But like David said in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24, he said, I will not offer to my God burnt offerings and sacrifices, which cost me nothing. We got to quit trying to get by with something that is not sacrificial. It costs something to offer yourself and to do your part so that lives can be changed. And I want to look at chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 once again in Ephesians. Paul writes and he says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So what is Paul saying? He's saying, I want you to imitate God. How do you want us to imitate God? God offered himself for us, and I want you to do the same for other people. That's why Paul would also write another portion of scripture, and he would say to the church that you should esteem others as better than yourself. Meaning, offer yourself. How can you help? How can you serve? How can you help them grow? But he says, I want you to be imitators. You know, it's been said that imitation is the highest form of flattery. I don't really like that saying, because the book of Proverbs says, to one who flatters spreads a net for his feet. And so I don't want to use it in that way. But I do think that when you imitate someone, it's the highest honor that you can pay them. When the greatest thing that could ever be said to me, for me, about my children, is that they want to be like me. Yeah. If my boys want to be like dad, then I hope that I'm living like Jesus. That, like Paul would say to the Corinthians, imitate me as I imitate Christ. The greatest compliment that someone could ever, that my children could ever pay me, is to want to be like me. And that's what he is saying. He's saying, be imitators of God. I remember when I was growing up, I grew up in Huntsville, Alabama. And if you would at different times drive down University, and there's a Chevron on the right by a restaurant called Casablanca. Really good Mexican restaurant, by the way. If you're ever over there by Guitar Center, you should check it out if you don't go to Chipotle. I'm a firm believer in Chipotle. I preach the Chipotle gospel, okay? If you were driving right there, there used to be a guy, I don't know if he still does it, but there was a gentleman that was a Michael Jackson impersonator. And he would park at the Chevron right there on University, and he would climb up on his car, and he would begin to moonwalk, and he would begin to do the Thriller dance, and he would have Bad blasting from his car stereo, and it would just be on a Michael Jackson loop, and he was just he was dancing his heart out. People would gather around and take videos. You can look him up. He's on YouTube. But I just have to say that the only thing that this guy had was the outfit. He was not the best impersonator I've ever seen in my entire life. I can't moonwalk, but I could do what he did, okay? Like, I can't do Michael Jackson. I can't get up on the toes and stuff, but he had the glove, he had the black shoes, the white socks with the pants rolled up, and he had the hat, and that was it. That he didn't really have the moves. So that's not the kind of impersonation that I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about being imitators of God, living as Jesus lived while he was on this earth. And the first thing that he tells us to imitate God in is by walking in love. Offering love to other people. That's what he says in verse 2. He says, and walk in love. When I start to think about that, I start to think about the description that is given to us about love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when Paul writes and he says, love suffers long. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy. How about this one? Love bears no record of wrong. You see, when you think about it like that, we read walk in love and we skip right over, oh yeah, walk in love. No, what he's saying is walk in a way that you don't ever behave rudely to people. Walk in a way that suffers long with people when they're making mistakes. Walk in a way that bears no record of wrong. That's offering love to other people. That's being somebody that they may deserve for you to chew them out. They may deserve for you to talk behind their back, but because you have decided my life is not my own, I've been bought with a price, and I'm not going to let any corrupt word proceed out of my mouth except for that which is necessary for edification, that it can impart grace to the hearer, and I'm going to walk in love, and I'm not going to behave rudely, but I'm going to suffer long with this person. I'm going to be kind. I'm not going to bear any record of wrong. What would the world look like? Well, actually, let's get specific. What would Fort Payne look like? What would Gadsden look like? What would Rainsville look like? What would Mentone look like? What would Sylvania and Section and Dutton and Powell look like if we offered love instead of anger and bitterness? What would it look like if we offered forgiveness instead of holding a grudge? What would it look like if we spoke imparting grace instead of corruption? Because that's what it really means to walk in love, is to suffer along with people, to be kind, to not behave rudely, to not, it also says love doesn't seek its own. What does that mean? If you flip it around, that means love seeks the benefit of other people above the comfort of itself. That's how he's telling us to walk. That's how he's saying, I want you to be an imitator of Jesus. And Jesus walked in love. And it says, he gave himself for us. Therefore, we should give ourselves for others. Paul said to the Corinthians when he wrote to them, he said, death works in us so that life can work in you. That's the type of mentality that I'm asking you to adopt and to walk in and live in, is to walk in love and realize that when I offer myself as a sacrifice to God, it may work and feel like death inside of me, but life is going to be happening in my coworkers. Death may be working in me, but life is working in my spouse. Death may be working in me, but life is working in my children. Death may be working in me, but life is working in the person that I encounter at the grocery store. And it doesn't feel good in the moment. But if we will offer ourselves as a sacrifice like Jesus did, we will see a great revival take place in this community. So I want to ask you today, are you willing to offer yourself so that others can find life? Because that's what Jesus did. He gave his life as a ransom for many. And Paul said, imitate God, walk in love, as he offered his life for us. Meaning we should offer ourselves and our life for others. What I mean by that is, offer your time, offer your talents, offer your finances, offer encouragement, offer a listening ear. It may not be what you want to do. But here's what I love. Paul says in verse 2, "And walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God." Listen to this. "For a sweet smelling aroma." You know what that means? When you choose to offer your life and death works in you so that life can work in others, all of a sudden it becomes a sweet smelling aroma to God. It might not feel good in the moment, but he goes, "That's so pleasing to me. That's so beautiful to me." He loves it in that moment when we say, "I'm going to walk in love. I'm not going to behave rudely. I'm going to offer myself and my life. I'm going to allow death to work in me so that life can work in them." The Bible is clear that it's a sweet smelling aroma to God. He's pleased in it. That means that when you're working in the nursery back there in those rooms and you're holding those babies and you're teaching those children and death is working in you because it may not be fun and there's nothing like water. It's one thing to deal with your own unruly child. It's a whole nother level to deal with somebody else's unruly child. You know what I'm talking about? And death is working in you because you're changing that stinky diaper. What stinks in your nostrils is sweet in God's nostrils because he's looking down on you and he's going, "Death's working in you so that that mother can sit in the house of God and receive teaching and can be prophesied over and can worship and can praise." Or as you're getting up early on Sunday morning when it should be a day that you can sleep in, but you're waking up early and you're getting here so you can greet and you can love on people in the foyer. It's death working in you so that life can work in others. And God looks down and he says, "I'm pleased by that." When you're praying and you're interceding, the people that came up for intercession today, and you're digging in prayer and you're standing in the gap for your coworker or for your sister or for somebody that's asked you to pray for them, and it's intense and you can feel the pain and you can feel the burden, death is working in you so that life can work in them. And God's looking down and he's going, "That's a sweet smelling aroma. It brings pleasure to him." And I can't help but think of what Jesus taught when he said, "I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you took me in." But then there's another group, he says, "I was sick and you wouldn't come to me. I was naked and you didn't give me any clothes. I was hungry. You didn't give me any food. I was in prison. You didn't even come and visit me." But then do you know what he says? "As much as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. As much as you have not done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have not done it to me." What is Jesus teaching us in this moment? He's saying, if you, because it's not always easy to go visit the sick or to clothe the poor or to feed the hungry. It's not always easy to go visit people in prison. But he's saying, if you'll do that, you're doing it unto me, and it is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. So if we will allow death to work in us, life can work in others. But the enemy would love nothing more than for you to think, "What's my part matter?" I believe that one of the greatest tactics of the enemy is getting people to stay complacent because they think that what they have to offer won't make a difference. What would my 2 cents make? I'll tell you what your 2 cents would make. There's a story in the book of Mark chapter 12. Jesus has just finished teaching about how the scribes and the Pharisees take advantage of the widows. And he goes and he sits down opposite the treasury and he begins to watch people come and bring their offerings to the Lord and dump them. There was a big, big barrel and they would dump them in the barrel. And the rich people were coming and dumping bags and bags of money. And it became this show to show how much they gave and how generous they were. But there was a little woman that was a widow that had 2 mites in her hands. And that word mite is where we actually get our word minute, meaning little, thin, just insignificant. And she comes with her 2 mites and she drops them in the treasury. And Jesus, the Bible says in Mark chapter 12, he called his disciples together. He got their attention. He said, "This woman, whom he had just been preaching about, he said, she has given more than everybody else. Because they gave out of their abundance, but she gave out of her poverty. Because she was willing to give what she had." Listen, the 2 mites that she had was the equivalent of 2/3 of a penny. We don't even have a currency that is small enough to symbolize what it was that she gave. Less than a penny. If you were to give a penny in the offering today, you gave more than she gave. And that was enough to catch Jesus' attention, to say, everybody, pay attention and look and listen. I just talked about how they take advantage of widows, and she is still willing to give to the kingdom of God what she has. And it's more valuable in the eyes of God than everything else that was given. So don't let the enemy trick you into thinking that what you have is not good enough. Because if you'll give your two mites, if you'll give your five loaves and two fish, if you will give your jar of oil and your bin of flour, God will take what you had. And he says, it's more than it is in your hands. When you put it in my hands, it becomes so much more. So don't think for a moment there's nowhere for me to serve in church. There is no part for me. My offering doesn't matter. My tithes don't matter. My time doesn't matter. My talents don't matter. Don't think I'm not good enough to play on the worship team. I'm not charismatic enough to greet. I'm not good enough with babies to serve. I'm not knowledgeable enough. That's why we're going to talk in a few weeks about training, because if you will be willing and to be trained and to subject yourself, you can become great at anything that you put your mind to. If you say, God, it doesn't seem like much, but I will give to you what I do have, he will take it and multiply it and make it so much greater. But we just have to be willing to say, I'll offer what I have. It doesn't seem like much, but what I do have, God, I'll give it to you. Everything that I have, I give it so that other people can be blessed, so that other people can be benefited, so that as I walk in love, they can be recipients of love, so that as I walk in grace, they can see and know the grace that is in Jesus Christ. I want to offer myself to the kingdom of God, holding nothing back, like Paul said, to offer myself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. I'm not after your billfolds. I'm not after your money. What I am here for, though, is to see the house of God flourish and grow, and to see you grow personally in your life. And I know that the growth happens in the body of Christ when every single person does their share, does what they're called to do. And I want to give you an opportunity, not today, but next week, we're going to take up a special offering. Because remember what God said? He said, you have robbed me in tithes and in offerings, and I would be amiss as a shepherd if I didn't give you the opportunity to give an offering. But this is going to be a specific offering. We're not just taking this up to put it in the bank and or to buy some frivolous thing. We're going to this year start a ministry called Love Thy Neighbor. It's something that we do at the Well Scottsboro, and we're going to do it here in Fort Payne because we want to make an impact. We want to reach out to people in our community. And what Love Thy Neighbor is we're going to go to a specific apartment complex, and we're going to welcome anyone that is a new resident at the apartment. As they have new residents move in, we're going to take them fresh baked goods. We're going to take them a basket of goodies to just say welcome to the community. Maybe they're relocating here from somewhere else. Maybe they're moving from somewhere in town. But we want to be there as the Well to say, hey, we want to welcome you into the community. We want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We want to do unto the least of these, my brethren, like they are Jesus. But there are some needs that we have in order to get that ministry launched and off the ground. There's a few things that we need to purchase, some baskets, some supplies, and even a deep freeze to be able to keep baked goods in throughout the month as we store them up to go out and to bless the community. So next week, we're going to take up a special offering, and we're going to receive that to help buy the things that are needed for that. But also our missionaries in New Orleans, Louisiana, Jordan and Madison Wilkes, who are an amazing couple, and they're expecting their third child right now, but they are actually planting a church at their house. They have a building in their backyard, and they're planting a church right there in Louisiana, and we want to be able to sow into the birthing of that church. And so next week, the special offering will go to those two things, Love Thy Neighbor and to Courier Mission starting their church in New Orleans, Louisiana, because I want you to get to play a part and be a part of offering financially and sowing into the kingdom of God and seeing the harvest of souls. I believe that next time Jordan and Madison come into town, that when we sow, the Bible says, if you sow, you'll reap. He says, if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. But if you sow begrudgingly and you hold back, then your harvest will be the same. So as we sow bountifully into that, I believe it's going to produce a harvest of souls for the kingdom of God. And we're, as we sow into love thy neighbor, we're going to be able to treat others as we would want to be treated ourselves, welcome people into the community, and love people like Jesus would love them. And so we're going to take up that offering. So this week, I ask that you would allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart, maybe in prayer. Lord, what would you have me to give next week? He may put a number in your brain that makes you go, ouch, not sure about that one. That may be an Isaac that he wants you to take up to the mountain and give. It may be something that you say, really, God, I can give more than that. And he might say, little as much when God is in it. When you're obedient to give what God asks you to give, he will bless it and he will multiply it. So we're going to take up that special offering next week. But I want to encourage you and remind you this week to be imitators of God. Walk in love as Jesus offered himself for us. So we should offer ourselves in our lives for his service so that other people can be blessed. And it's a sweet smelling aroma to the Lord. The sacrifice that we give in the Old Testament, it was the sacrifice of bulls and turtle doves and goats and lambs. But the sacrifice of the new covenant is us on the altar saying, God, here I am. You bought me with a price. I offer myself to you as a reasonable act of worship. Amen. Stand to your feet with me today. If you have any specific need of prayer in your life today, Pastor Madison and I will be down front following service. We'd love the opportunity to connect with you, to pray with you, to encourage you in the Lord. And so once I pray the blessing, if you have any need of prayer, we'll be down here. We'd love to pray with you and pray over you today. But if not, thank you so much for joining us today. And I hope and pray that you're growing in this season with God. And let me just pray a blessing over you. If you would, close your eyes and lift your hands. Father, I pray over your people today. I do pray growth, I pray increase, I pray favor and blessing, God, and I ask that you would take the offering that we give to you, God, the offering of our heart, the offering of our abilities, our time, our efforts, our finances, everything that we have, as we give it to you, let it be a sweet-smelling aroma to you. Lord, I pray that you would give us the opportunity this week, sounds like a weird prayer, for death to work in us so that life may work in others. That we could truly be like Jesus, loving the one that's unlovable, serving, giving, obeying, offering ourselves so that other people can come to know you. Lord, I pray that you would birth that desire inside of each and every one of us. We love you and we praise you and we honor you today. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may he keep you in his peace, may he smile all over you, and may you be a pleasing aroma in the nostrils of our Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. We love you so much.